What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Tuesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. All right, Joe, I got a lot of college football that I got to get to you. But first, before we do that, quickly, 3 weeks into the NFL season, best and worst teams against the spread. On the best side, Arizona, 3-0 against the spread. The Dolphins, 3-0 against the spread. Eagles and Packers, 3-0. Against the spread, then you got a host of teams, Joe, in that 2-1 area as well.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, you can't argue with the Dolphins, and we brought up the Cardinals. I mean, they're fighting like they're a division contender. It really is amazing, and we'll see what this weekend holds in terms of these matchups. But at the end of the day, you got to go with the trend early.
And they get their biggest number of the year, right? 14 in San Francisco. Against the 49ers. Joe's shaking the head. The Josh Dobbs, it's not this week, Joe's saying. Not this week.
I don't know
not
if it's going to be
team.
This week. They're going to top out at some point. And once they top out, then you just hammer them every week. So, hammer against them. That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting. I don't know if they cover one more, two more. And then once they get beat up really good, then you just bet against them.
We have a few teams with a bagel, Joe, in terms of against the spread wins. The Saints, the Bengals, the Panthers, the Giants, the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Bears. Broncos and Bears play each other this week. The Vikings and Panthers play each other this week. So a bunch of those teams that have not gotten a victory against the spread will have an opportunity to do so, Joe, this week. So only 3 weeks in, we will get going there. It's college football time, Joe. Here on C2C. You are the encyclopedia, of course, as we know. But first, we welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty. Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Byline. Great to have everybody with us. We'll start the college football, Joe, by going to Rich Sermonello. Of course, every week we find out who had the best weeks for the Maxwell Award recaps. Here is Rich.
Hey, Mike, it's honor roll time. Looking back at week four in college football from the Maxwell Football Club perspective, let's start off with the Maxwell Player of the Week. Going to go out to the Pac-12. We've done that a lot this year. Got another quarterback who was prolific. It's Cam Ward, the Washington State QB in his second year on the Palouse. Leads the Cougars. Undefeated start to the season. They beat Oregon State over the weekend. Beavers were number 14 in the country. Cam Ward just continues to get better. Throws for 404 yards, four touchdowns. Runs for a fifth score. You know what, Mike? I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I watched this kid. He wears number one. He's playing in the state of Washington. Sturdy build, bounces off tacklers, keeps his head up and makes plays when it looks like there's nothing out there. I see a young Warren Moon. Again, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but this kid has been fantastic, and he continues to rise up our charts for the Maxwell Award. Let's move on over to defense. Bednarik Award Player of the Week. Alabama's offense is terrible this year. That's been the case. I don't know if that's going to change no matter who plays quarterback. But the defense continues to keep this program in games, and that happened again in week four. Tide beat Ole Miss 24-10. Rebels get 10 points. They came into the weekend averaging 52.7. The leader of that defense, Mike, is edge rusher Dallas Turner. He was fantastic again. Five tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss. couple of sacks of Jackson Dart, forced fumble. He was in Dart's face all game long. So Alabama, despite the fact that they don't have an offense, that defense, three of four games this month, they've held opponents to no more than 10 points. So, you know, that SEC West, the Tide still might be the class of the division, and a big reason why is Dallas Turner. And final award for the week, Mike, we'll bring it back to the freshman. Sean Alexander, freshman of the week. We're going to go to the Big 12. Iowa State quarterback Rocco Becht had a huge game, best game of his young career. If the name sounds familiar, especially to Jets fans, his dad, Anthony, was a former first-round draft choice of the Jets. Becht was cool under pressure, leads the Cyclones to a win over Oklahoma State, three touchdown passes, no picks. You know, he's got a lot of poise, throws a very catchable ball, not that big. I'm thinking maybe Matt Campbell has the second coming of Brock Purdy in Ames. So Rocco Becht, freshman of the week out of Iowa State.
There you go. Great job by Rich Sermonello. All the Max Ward Award recaps from this weekend. All right, Joe, a couple things there, actually. I texted you, I think it was either yesterday or late Saturday night, maybe after that game. Because, you know, I like Anthony Becht. Like, he's been on the show back in the day.
You do, that's your
guy. I like Becht a lot. Like, he played in New York with the Jets, West Virginia, of course, coached in the – only thing I liked about the XFL was Becht was coaching the St. Louis team. I liked that he got a shot. I thought he did great when he was on TV. And his kid, of course, Rocco, kind of obviously – thrown into the starting quarterback gig at Iowa State after all the nonsense, of course, that went on before the season. I already forget the kid's name, Joe, but he got chopped, who was supposed to be the starting There it is, Hunter Decker. So he's out. Rocco played well, and yeah. I think the first thing you said to me was, what the hell happened to Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State?
Terrible loss. They laid three and a half in that game. Iowa State was favored, and Iowa State – you know, big picture, Big 12, they're not going to win the Big 12, but they're catching 14 and a half, 15 against Oklahoma. So keep an eye out in terms of that. This is a look ahead potentially before OU Texas. So can they step up? You know, Iowa State under Matt Campbell has given Oklahoma absolute fits, packed with the days of Brock Purdy and Alan Lazard and Xavier Hutchinson as well. So keep an eye out for that, but he's playing well. He's a freshman, and Matt Campbell actually resurrected his career because I did put him on the hot seat prior to the season.
And Cam Ward, of course, excellent for Washington State. What he's done, of them beating the Beavers on Saturday night, and we were discussing this last night on the radio. Like, he needs, like, when's his next big marquee game, so that he can really get a lot of eyes on him. And they're off this week. They play UCLA next week on the road. But October 21st, Joe, Washington State and Oregon, that's going to be a big spot for Cam Ward. I'm excited to see him against the Ducks.
Well, think about last year. We talked about last year's game in Pullman. It was a 44-41, you know, back-and-forth type of game, and that's where Oregon laid, I believe it was 5.5 in that matchup. They needed a pick six with about 10 minutes left, or 5 minutes left, that actually gave them a 10-point lead, and in about 30 seconds, Cam Ward led the Cougars down the field to get the backdoor cover with 2 seconds left. He put up over 300 yards on that secondary. So this is Bo Nix. Cam Ward, this could be the breakout. You want to take a long shot, take Cam Ward now with two back-to-back games.
We will talk about that when we come back, Joe. I got a lot of college for you. Some national title odds movements. I've got college teams 4-0 ATS. And I'll give you the early week lines for some of the biggest games coming up this week, including Kansas and Texas, a barn burner of undefeated teams in the Big 12. Coast to coast, we're back on The Grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty. Sports Grid Radio. BetMGM has you set up $1,500 first bet offer. Bonus code SG1500. This is for all new BetMGM Sportsbook account users. All you got to do, download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android, or visit BetMGM.com. Sign up and deposit at least $10 into your BetMGM Sportsbook account. Place your first wager and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. If it does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. That is BetMGM's $1,500 first bet offer. Bonus code SG1500. Okay, Joe, we'll stick with the college football here. I've got for you line movement for the national championship. These are teams that moved off of this week's game. So let's take a look from moving from last week to this week. Ohio State with the win in South Bend goes from 10-1 to 9-1. Texas goes from 10-1 to 9-1. FSU win over Clemson 12-1 to 9-1. And Colorado, a huge move from 80 to 250, obviously, after losing to Oregon. The highest ticket percentage, Michigan, Colorado, and Ohio State so far at BetMGM.
Yeah, I mean, out of that group, I mean, I would probably take Florida State because of their ability on the road to step up, force turnovers, the way the front seven's playing with Jared Verse, one of the most versatile defensive ends that we've seen in the country. I think they deserve to be there. Again, they have Miami. They're going to have an ACC potential championship game. But at the end of the day, I'm buying into Mike Norvell and Jordan Travis right now.
And overall, Georgia, of course, Joe, is still the favorites at the top of the board going into this week. Week number five in college, Georgia's plus 225, Michigan 4-1. And then all those teams we were talking about, actually Florida State this morning, Joe, kind of inched to 850. 9, Ohio State, 9, Texas, USC, Penn State, and Oregon there at 16s and 20s.
Yeah, I think you look at Penn State and Oregon right now because from an offense and defensive line perspective, Carver, you know, Drew Aller and that offensive line wore down Iowa's front seven. They ran it. They worked off a play action 31-0, and that defense shut down Cade McNamara, held them to 56 passing yards in that game, and the way Oregon ran the football. Now, granted, Colorado's front seven was weak, but the way they pounded the rock for over 5 yards per carry, they're going to be a very difficult out throughout the rest of the Pac-12 season.
From the Heisman Trophy standpoint here, Joe, here are the guys that went up and down off of this week's performances. Michael Penix Jr. now goes from 550 to 350. That actually, Joe, as I'll show you in a moment, puts him even with Caleb Williams at the top of the board. Bo Nix from 22 to 12. Jaden Daniels, a big move, 30 to 18. Kyle McCord, a big move, 50 to 35. And on the downside, Sam Hartman went from 9 to 16. Marvin Harrison Jr., 35 to 66. And Shedeur Sanders went from 18 to 1 to 80 to 1 after the Colorado loss to Oregon.
Well, I would say this. Hartman didn't do it with his arm against Ohio State. If he has a 350-yard performance, 4 touchdowns, and they lose on the last play of the game, you could say that. But coupled with the fact that Clemson lost last week to Florida State, now if Hartman goes in there and beats them, it loses its luster a little bit, right? It would have been better if Clemson knocks off Florida State, Hartman goes into Death Valley and gets the win and lights them up. That's a different story. I will say, you got to keep an eye out for Jaden Daniels, because if you haven't watched back-to-back weeks in terms of the LSU Tigers, even though they got pushed to the limit by Arkansas, he's dropping absolute dimes, 320 yards last week, 4 tutties, 1 interception. And at the end of the day, he's got 1,200 passing yards, 12 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. If LSU navigates through the SEC West and they knock off Georgia, which I think they can the way they're playing right now, he's a potential dark horse at 18-1.
We said Caleb Williams and Penix both plus 350 now. Quinn Ewers is 6-1. And then you get into Bo Nix, Bodacious, and Jordan Travis is at 13-1 as well there. Dylan Gabriel up the board too. But don't worry, Joe, his time's coming. Dylan Gabriel, after they lose to Texas, he'll fall back down the board.
Oh, so that's it now, right? Well, I tell you, he's leading one of the most prolific offenses. They might lose to Iowa State. I mean, they're 19.5-point favorites. Never count on Iowa State. They're catching 19.5.
They have played hack teams so far
Cincinnati covered that number, 14.5 was.
And Oklahoma didn't play that. Oklahoma didn't play that well. And just wait until they play better teams. Wait till they play better teams like Texas in the Big 12. I'm saying it now. Oklahoma still going to go 8-4 this year. Everybody getting hyped up now. That they're going to lose 3 or 4 games coming down the pike. It's going to happen.
They could lose the last Pedlin game, too. Last Pedlin game.
I said it. A lot of emotion there, Joe. A lot of emotion. A lot of emotion. All right. The here we go. The best teams in college football against the spread. This is the 4-0s, Joe. The 4-0 club through 4 games. I wanted to give these to you, the 4-0s and the 0-4s. Right now, Oregon, Oklahoma, Penn State, UNLV, Southern Utah, Liberty, Tennessee Martin, Holy Cross, Lafayette. Now, you have a couple of lower division schools in there, Joe, with those 4-0 ATSs. Let's stick with the big teams. Oregon, Oklahoma, Penn State, and then Liberty and UNLV, who me and you both, at least UNLV, we've liked UNLV a bunch of these weeks, and they've cashed
in. We have. We have, but they haven't been able to knock me over the top. That's the problem. You know, they got the win over Vanderbilt, and that was a big 4.5-point dog in terms of that. But I will say, Penn State, Oregon, the way they're playing, not just on the football field, but covering spreads, that's definitely the two top teams that I would back right now because of their ability to throw it and run it. They're getting solid quarterback play as well.
Other side of the coin, winless against the spread, ATS in college football, includes the number one team, Georgia.
Yep.
0-4, Joe. They did not cover against UAB there Saturday night at home. NC State, Illinois, PJ Fleck still rowing that boat home from losing to Northwestern outright. UTSA, who was ATS machine the last 2 years, UTSA, is on this list at 0-4. Troy is on there, too, who's usually very good. And Vandy, Joe, of course, 0-5 because they played the first week. Bad job by Clark Leah and the crew.
Yeah, it was bad by, you know, Vanderbilt, but I will say this. UTSA has been without Frank Harris, their starting quarterback. Gave up over 300 rushing yards to Tennessee. I will say this about Georgia. Potential bet this week for me. Keep an eye out. The rushing attack is starting to get solid. $1.89 against South Carolina, $1.90 against UAB. Why is that important? They're facing a one-dimensional offense in the SEC's oldest rivalry game against Auburn. Auburn only throws it for 173 yards through the air. Secondary strong. They could break out in a big way. They have won 6 straight against Auburn. The last 3, Carver, by 25.6 points per game.
Well, you can make it, what'd you say, 6? You can make it 7. And with how much they're going to win by on Saturday, that 25 points per game will probably go up to like 35. They are going to destroy Auburn. Auburn, they're no good. Watching them against Texas A&M on Saturday, Joe, they have no offensive identity, as you like to say. They have no good quarterback play.
That's why.
Georgia, this is the week, Joe. I want to see it. 0-4 against the spread for Georgia. Change that this week. I think that they will beat. Where's that game, Joe? On Saturday,
it's 14.5, 15.
Yeah.
They won 42-10 last year.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, they will smoke them, Joe.
With the Ole Miss.
Smoke them.
This might be a best bet for me. Stop tossing.
Smoke them. Smoke them. It might be for me as well now. Now I'm going all in on Georgia this week against Auburn, just to get you going. All right, we'll come back. I'll quickly give you some games. And then we got to get into baseball for tonight. Lots of games there as well. Regular season's almost over. Pharrell Coast to Coast here, Sports Grid Radio. We will come back and get into the baseball. And one significant game, of course, is Houston and Seattle tonight in the Pacific Northwest. Pharrell Coast to Coast rolls on after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. Now, Joe, tomorrow we will really dive in to this week's college football schedule. I'm going to have a lot of coaches for you tomorrow, but let me at least dip your toe in the water and give you some of these numbers early in the week here, including a big Friday night game in Corvallis with the Utes and the Beavers right now, especially with Oregon State minus the 3 for this one. USC in Colorado, high noon kickoff Eastern at Boulder, 21.5. Florida and Kentucky as the Gators go to Lexington. Kansas and Texas, which I think, Joe, in Austin, biggest game on the slate, minus 17 right now for the Longhorns. And Michigan hits the road for the first time this year, going to Lincoln to see Matt Rhule and Nebraska.
Yeah, I would still lean to Utah. They're getting solid quarterback play out of Nate Johnson. Defense stepped up. And again, we saw DJU struggle in a big spot. Now, Oregon State's much better at home than they are on the road, but I'll still take the road team in Utah. Better coach, in my opinion, and I think they're a little bit more battle-tested, and we might even see Cam Rising potentially in this ball game. Give me Utah in that matchup. How about the over? USC and Colorado. I mean, I think this is the game we see Caleb, we see Shador Sanders ball out over the 73.5. This is a game I could see Caleb for 500, Shador for 500, and maybe we get one of those old BYU Hawaii type of games. I lean to Florida, I lean to Texas, but I really like Nebraska going across and against the grain. They're running the football a little more consistently, averaging 234 on the ground. It's a must win, in my opinion, for Jim Harbaugh. But Matt Rhule playing with house money, getting better quarterback play. Give me Nebraska plus the points, Carver.
I know one thing. If USC has 42 points at the half, or 35 like Oregon did last Saturday, they're not going to stop like Oregon did. USC is going to keep they're going to keep on scoring. They don't mind throwing 60s up on the board, that's for sure. So we shall see. Next, Georgia and Auburn. You already referenced that with 14.5 right now. Notre Dame goes to Durham to take on Duke. Under the lights, a night game for them. They are road favorites. LSU and Ole Miss, interesting game. Minus 2.5 for Brian Kelly and the crew. Alabama visits Mississippi State, 14-point road favorites. And Iowa State and Rocco Beck, who we mentioned before, go to Oklahoma. Almost 3 touchdowns they're going to be getting against Dylan Gabriel and the Sooners.
Yeah, I'll just say about Notre Dame, I mean, what's the mindset? What are you going to get, right? Typically, they dominated last time they were in Durham, 38-7. I think they should be laying 5.5. I would lay it, but I can't, not knowing what you're going to get out of Marcus Freeman, lose it on the last play of the game. So we'll see how that plays out. Like LSU, they've won 6 of the last 7. You talk about the hot play of Jaden Daniels, coupled with the fact that Jackson Dorton, that offense, inconsistent on third down. So we'll see how it plays out. How about this statistic? Alabama's won against Mississippi State 15 straight games, the last 4 by an average margin of victory of 34 points per game. But I'm going the other way. I'm taking Miss State. I'm closing my eyes. Will Rogers.
What,
and that
what do you mean you're going the other way? You got to be kidding me.
No, here's the thing.
Got to be kidding me.
Alabama's weakness is over the top. Will Rogers and that offense broke out for 487. Yeah. I like them in a bounce back spot. I love them in a bounce back spot. Love it.
No thanks, Joe. I got in front of that train last week. I ain't getting in front of it this week.
That's what
have
I
a good time.
I want completely off you them so I can bet it.
You don't have to worry about me, Joe. I'll be nowhere near Alabama and Mississippi State on Saturday night. The floor is yours, Joe, for that game. I want no part of it. There you go. Tomorrow we'll do a lot more college football, go through more of the games. I got a lot of coaches for you. Next, baseball. Regular season ends on Sunday. There are a couple things still up for grabs. One of them is the wild card spots in the American League. Now, it looks like Texas, after a win last night, 5-1 over the Angels, still have a 2.5 game lead over the Astros with a couple play, now 3.5 over Seattle. Astros have flipped to 1.5 over Seattle for the final wild card spot, Joe. That's because last night they beat Luis Castillo. Kyle Tucker, King Tuck, getting it done on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest.
Tucker drills one deep to right field. That one's well tagged and off the scoreboard out there. Tucker's 29th on the year. RBI number 110. For King Tuck.
You know, I think the Astros are probably going to pull this out, Joe. You know, they have now, like I said, a game and a half over Seattle. for the last spot. They play them again tonight. This is so massive for Seattle, and we'll do the numbers in a moment. They have got to win this game tonight against Houston. They lose tonight, and it's just about shut the lights time for them. And Texas with their win, I think they're going to win that division. Blue Jays look in good shape. So things are rounding into form, Joe, for the playoffs starting next Tuesday night, I believe, for those wild card series. They're going to play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those three gamers. Let me get you to tonight. We'll do the World Series tomorrow for all of that. First, Cincinnati hanging by a thread is in Cleveland against the Guardians. It'll be Hunter Green and Lucas Giolito. Guardians minus 120, even money for the Reds. 7.5 is the total. I'm on the Reds, Joe. Even money, especially against Giolito, who is a gas can, as you know. Not good.
They got 80 wins. We needed 90 out of this team. We don't know if we could get it. Not getting it.
No, we can't get it.
Unbelievable.
Not getting it.
Well, I think they beat the Guardians today. I'm going under, too. Under the total.
It's over. They're done on Sunday. We've run out of runway to go. We're not going to make it there with these teams for the 90 wins.
I knew we were dead with that bet. I knew it. Dead in the water.
It is what it is, Joe. The Yankees are in Toronto. As we said, the Jays need a couple of wins to sew up their playoff spot. Kevin Gausman against Michael King. Jays are minus 175, plus 145 for the Yankees. A flat 7 here. I like the over tonight, Joe, in Toronto.
I'll go with the over, and I'll probably take the Jays if I had to bet this game. Give me the Jays and the over in this matchup.
Okay, the Marlins need wins as they are chasing right now in that wild card spot. The Marlins going into tonight, Joe, are one back of Arizona and Chicago. They have Braxton Garrett tonight. Lucchesi goes for the Mets. Marlins are minus 130. Minus a run and a half for me, Joe, for the Marlins, plus 135. I think they beat up Lucchesi tonight.
You're stealing my thunder here, Carver. That's exactly what I was going to say. Marlins have 81 wins on the year. Very good season for them.
Now, the Mets have been winning some games here down the stretch, but I think the Marlins will take care of business. The Rays are in Boston against the Sox. It's going to be Zach Eflin and Tanner Houck. Rays are minus 120, even money for the Sox, a flat 8 total. Nothing for me here.
Over 8.5. I think they break out. Oh, give me the over 8.5 in that matchup.
We mentioned the Cubs are tied for one of those last two spots in the National League. They're in Atlanta starting tonight, where they're going to face Bryce Elder, the steel mill. Justin Steele at plus 120, Braves minus 145. Davis liked the Braves earlier in the Lions share, Joe. But I just have to believe that Steele's going to give him something big tonight. Plus 120 for me with the Cubs.
That's where I was. He's their best pitcher, right? So if you're going to get a valiant effort, going to be tonight. He's a dog against top team in the NL. Give me the Cubs on the money line.
Zach Davies for the Diamondbacks, who also need it. Minus 145 in Chicago against the White Sox. They have Urena going. He is awful. Minus 1.5 for the Diamondbacks at plus 110 for me, Joe.
Well, if he's awful, let's go up, up, and away over the 9.5, Carver.
You want to go up, 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 and away? We can go up, 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 and away. That's fine with me, too. I think the Diamondbacks can get there by themselves. Game two later in Colorado, Dodgers and the Rockies. Rockies are winning 3-1 in game one. It'll be Miller and Feltner tonight. Dodgers heavy lumber minus 275 and 11.5 the total.
Yeah, they're going to get smashed in game two. So let's take the Dodgers minus the 2.5 runs.
The Texas Rangers are getting closer to clinching that AL West title tonight. They will have Cody Bradford against Reed Detmers in Anaheim against the Angels. Rangers minus 175, flat 9, minus a run and a half, just minus 110, Joe, for them there.
Let's go under there. I think the Rangers win, but go under in terms of that ballgame.
And the big game of the night, as we mentioned, is in Seattle, where Christian Javier and George Kirby is the pitching matchup. Mariners minus 125, plus 105 for Houston, 7.5 total. I got to take Kirby's Dreamland tonight, minus 125. Last stand at the OK Corral, as far as I'm concerned, Joe, with the Mariners.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus the 105 under the 7.5. Exact result is last night.
Giants hanging by the smallest of threads. Have Harrison
hang
against
Lugo.
Minus 125 for the Padres. Plus 105 for the Giants. Take the Giants tonight, Joe. Plus 105.
I am. Hang in there. Yeah, do they have life or they're on life support? Give me the Giants.
They're pretty much done, Joe. I mean, they would need basically they got to win every game. And I think Miami, Chicago, and Arizona all have to lose every game just about to get the Giants into the playoffs. Here's the rest of them, the games that really have either one or both teams playing for absolutely nothing. Nats are in Baltimore, Royals, Tigers, Pirates, Phillies, A's, Twins, Cardinals, Brewers. The rest of your night in baseball, Joe.
I like the Brew Crew over the Cardinals. I wouldn't lay 175. Lay the run and a half. How about the over? Let's go contrarian. Over Athletics and Twins, 8.5.
Joe, I will see you later tonight on the radio side, 8 o'clock East, Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio here on the grid. And you'll be back with me tomorrow, of course, on C2C. There he is, the encyclopedia of college football. That is Joe Lisi. We will come back. Sean Merriman is going to join us. Of course, Lights Out XF. We've got a lot to discuss with Sean. Pharrell Coast to Coast, Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back, Pharrell, coast to coast on a Tuesday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us here today. Always great to have back on coast to coast our man Sean Merriman. Of course, Lights Out Extreme Fighting, big event coming up Saturday, October the 7th. We'll talk about that and some NFL, former NFL linebacker. Sean, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
We're doing good. Let's start. We'll do some football stuff too, but let's start by talking about, of course, what you got coming up October 7th. You've been on with us plenty of times in the past to talk about the extreme fighting. How's it been going? And who do we got throwing down next week? What's the deal?
Honestly, man, this is our biggest card. I mean, we almost had to cut back on some of the fights. We had so many fighters on this one. And, we'll be live on Fubo Sports, Fubo TV. And so the main event is Musa Tolliver and Albert Morales. Albert, who actually fought in the UFC for some time. The cool thing is I sparred and trained with both of these guys. So I normally I don't get involved in the matchmaking side of my matchmakers. They do that. This one, I push through, man. There's a lot of bad blood with these two. They're both really popular and well-known in Southern California. This one's going to be a blowout, man. October 7th in Long Beach. If you guys are in Long Beach, anybody's around, lightsoutxf.com is where you get your tickets. This is our biggest card yet, for sure.
Yeah, and listen, these guys, like you said, these guys can throw down, man. Watch the clips of these guys. Go ahead and take a look. This is going to be a big-time event. Looking forward to it. As always, you've had a couple great cards already, Sean, with Lights Out Extreme Fighting and another one there. We're going to make sure to let everybody know again where to watch that before we get out of here. Some NFL stuff for you, because I know, listen, you played in the league. You're still watching the league. You see everything that is going on. A few things. Number one, last night, Monday Night Football, I know you and Moff were kind of talk about it off air before we came on, to be a defensive player and watch the Rams offensive line basically looks like the turnstiles with the Bengals just coming through and getting them. It's got to be fun to watch as a defensive guy. But also from that game, what'd you think of the Bengals playing Burrow? He didn't look like himself. He can't throw deep. You could tell that he's still hurt. Yes, they got the win. You don't want to go to 0-3. But are they risking some things down the line playing him in that spot last night?
That's one of those things where I never really understood. When you got a franchise quarterback like that, somebody that not only is going to be important for you the rest of the season, for the franchise's history for the next 5 or 10 years, is going to be important to them. Why risk going out there? And let me tell you about that calf injury he had. With the calf injuries, they're very tricky. The only way you can test that thing out is if you actually go out there and test it out. The problem is, once you test it out and you re-aggravate it, you're talking about another month, right? And there's nothing you can do about it. So in that case, I don't understand how the Bengals medical staff don't sit back and say, you know what? Look, if it's a linebacker, a D lineman, or somebody that's going to go, like, hey, that's fine. Your franchise quarterback, you don't want to risk that. You re-aggravate that calf injury again, and you're talking about a month. And that's if it doesn't linger for the rest of the season.
And is that the kind of thing, Sean, where like, and you played with the Chargers, you played with the Bills at the end of your career. Is that just come down to how the team or whoever the head coach is at that time, their philosophy on it? Because, like, you would think you don't want to put that decision in the player's hands, right? Because what's the player always going to say? The player's always going to say, I want to go. I want to play. I'm ready to go. I want to be out there with my guys. I want to make it happen. And it sounds like yesterday it was Burrow's decision. Like, they put it in Joe's lap. If you feel good, we're going to let you play. In your career, has that kind of been the standard? Like, or are there some coaches and organizations that are like, yo, we're going to make this decision. You're not doing anything unless we say so.
You know, I'll use this reference. When, you know, what's the kid that got hurt for Colorado? Hunter, right?
Yes, Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter. Yeah. He wanted to go back out there and play. And what did Coach Prime say? Guys, get healthy. He's a player, and he understands that in order to get your best guys back out there, you want to make sure they're fully healthy. As crazy as NFL players and athletes, they'll go out. We can be in a walking boot all week, right? Walking boot crutches, and all of a sudden we go out there and warm up with the crowd and lights and the fans and just everything. You're ready to go, and all of a sudden you drop the crutches, you get out of that boot, and you can play a whole football game. So you have to take those decisions out of the player's hands, because our as a player, you want to go out there and play. Under any circumstance, because that's the way we're wired. So if there's another position, if he's a wide receiver or you know, another position, not your franchise quarterback, you want to protect him, make sure he's good for the remainder of the season.
Now, obviously, what the Dolphins did on Sunday, you don't see that every day. A team scoring 70 points is pretty unheard of. It hadn't been done since, what, 66, something like that. But let's just say you were on the field. It gets to 50. I mean, it gets to 60. It gets, like, as a defensive player, with that going on, and you're watching that game, and let's be fair, some guys on Denver, it just looked like, you know, they quit, which is very hard to say at that level. If you're on the field and your team's giving up 70 points, Sean, please let me know what would happen.
You start a fight? I mean,
yeah.
that game can't finish, right? I mean, my friends and family are watching. And, you know, I'll say this. In order for you to get 70 points hung on you like that, like they did, you have to not care. You have to not care. And that starts from the top. And I think that we're seeing maybe the players rebelling against Sean Payton. Maybe it's, you know, they lost faith in Russell Wilson. There's something bigger here going on, because as a pro player, as a NFL professional player, you can never be okay playing in that game and get 70 points. And I don't care if you brought, you know, the best team in the NFL's history, the highest scoring offense ever. You cannot let 70 points be hung on you the way it was. So I think that people are not paying attention enough to what's going on down there. And somebody's sending a message to somebody. And I don't know if that's the players, the coach of the players, Russell Wilson to the coach. I don't know, or vice versa. But there's something else and bigger going on in Denver that no one's really talking about. But we're going to find out here shortly.
Pharrell Coast to Coast, we're talking with Sean Merriman, of course, former NFL linebacker, and Lights Out Extreme Fighting, big event Saturday, October the 7th on FUBU Sports. Next thing, Sean, of course, played for the Chargers, still love the Chargers. It's a roller coaster every week watching that football team. And I mean, and this is from even when you were on the team. Like, it's just that they're a franchise that, like, every year – you got to take ups and downs, and already this year they've played crazy games. They come out on the right side of one on Sunday against the Vikings. They've got the quarterback who's got an unbelievable arm. Your thoughts on the Chargers here, 1-2 after three games?
Well, I mean, listen, especially the defense side of the ball has been disappointing, right? Letting that many points being put up on you, that's disappointing, because they got too many great players: Derwin James, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. You know, J.C. Jackson, well, he's benched now. And, you know, they got a bunch of talent on the defense side of the ball. This, and, you know, I know it sounds a little cliche, but we talk about the football just being a game of inches, right? 1 or 2 plays to change the course of the game. If they won against Miami, as bad as that the defense looked, if it was 36-34 the other way and they got past them and they won, all is forgiven, right? You won, you looked ugly, whatever, right? You won the game. Cool, you go out, you lose the second game. For them to be in a situation to possibly be 0-3 with that talented roster that they have, Tom Telesco, the GM, I think he did a great job at assembling this roster, getting Justin Herbert taken care of, finding a way to bring Keenan Allen back, finding a way to make Austin Ekeler work. Obviously, Mike Williams going down with a big injury like that is going to hurt the team in for the long run. But then again, you got Quentin Johnston that's coming right in, new kid from TCU, Palmer that's coming in and can play now. So going forward, I still feel excited about what they're capable of doing. I still think that they can run this, win the division. If they don't fix that defense and they keep letting teams score, you know, 30-plus points or close to it, it's going to be a long road.
And it's Raider week. And I think that still when you played, and even still now, is that the team that you didn't like the most as a Charger was when the Raiders came in? Because there's always some good back and forth, Charger and Raider fans. I know a lot of fan bases hate Raiders. But Chargers and Raiders, that goes up a couple of notches.
Yeah, I still hate them, you know? that hate doesn't go away. And I think this is really because of the fan bases, right? The fan bases just absolutely hate each other, and it's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. This year is a little different, right? Because the Chargers are normally coming with the upper hand, better quarterback, they got better players than the Chargers. You expect to go in and win the game like this. But they have to find a way to start fast and then find a way to finish a game, right? Justin Herbert, look, Tua's playing great this year, having off-the-wall numbers. I mean, we've never seen these historic numbers that Tua's putting up. Patrick Mahomes looked great. Looked great. Justin Herbert, you know, he just had, you know, over 400 yards throwing the ball. By the way, no turnovers. And people are not even talking about that enough. I mean, you're throwing for 400-plus, no turnovers. I think he's the only quarterback in the NFL right now with no turnovers this season. So you can't put that on the offense. As a defense, when you have an offense that can go out there and throw up 30-plus points a game, you got to walk in there feeling very confident. You got to feel very confident that if you keep anybody under 30 points, you got a very good chance to win it. So they got to figure out what's going on in that defense and fix it ASAP.
In the small amount of time that you spent in Buffalo, everything you hear from people who play there, whether it's for a long time or a short amount of time, is when you leave, it's like, man, that's not what I expected. It's a fun place to play. The people are so passionate about football in that city. How is it now seeing them actually be good? Now, they got to get across the finish line one of these years. But seeing that city and that team have success in Buffalo.
I'll be the first one to tell you, I was scratching and screaming not to go when I got sent there. And it wasn't the city of Buffalo. Yeah, it wasn't the city of Buffalo. It was like I wanted to win.
Yep.
And if they wouldn't get a possibility of winning, I didn't want to go there. I've never seen a fan base like that in any sport, and definitely in football, maybe in sports. There's nothing like the Buffalo Bills fans, and they treat you like family. The camaraderie you feel out there, and the family like feel that you get by playing for the city. I wish that every player can experience that type of love from a city. It's nothing like it, and I just wish that we did have an opportunity to win like they're winning right now.
Yeah, one more time, and I'm a longtime Bills fan, lifelong Bills fan. I remember when they claimed you, and I know you didn't want to go, but you know, when you get there, the people are great. You're right. Absolutely. When you were going there, organizationally, not good. I don't blame you that you didn't want to go there at that point. 30 seconds, Sean, quickly. Tell us one more time, October 7th. Give us the card again. One more time in FUBU Sports, where to watch.
October 7th, Long Beach, California. Lights Out Extreme Fighting 11. We're back. Big card. Musa Tolliver, Alba Morales, former UFC guy, is fighting there. Get your tickets at lightsoutxf.com. We'll be live on Fubo TV. Do not miss this one. This one's going to be one of our biggest, no, not one of, the biggest card we've had in the existence of the company.
Sean Merriman, Lights Out Extreme Fighting. Thank you, Sean. Coast to coast. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. Good stuff from Sean Merriman. And I just want to go back to what I was asking about the 70 points. Like, I agree with him 100%. And I wondered that watching that game on Sunday. Like, you're out there. You're playing D. You have, 50 points, 60 points, 7. Like, at some point, somebody's got it. I know we know it's player safety, all those things. At some point, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to make somebody pay for that because they were, running up the score, weren't running up the score, whatever. He's right. There's a deeper problem in Denver, and it goes beyond things that we talked about last year with Nate Hackett. When you just allow that to continue to happen, pretty ridiculous. Lions and the Packers play Thursday night. Dan Campbell today is feeling good about David Montgomery returning to the Lion backfield. Christian Watson and Aaron Jones are set to return for Green Bay. So Love's done a nice job. They're 2-1. They're at home Thursday night, and he's getting his two best offensive players back. That is good news for him, that's for sure. The Jets signed Trevor Siemian, as we told you earlier. And there you go, from the NFL news and notes from the last couple of hours for that. All right, so you have a lot of baseball tonight. Obviously, the big game is in Seattle late night. George Kirby's Dreamland needs to get it done against Christian Javier so that the Mariners can get themselves back to a half game out. They lose tonight, and they're 2.5 games out. That is going to be very dicey with four to play. So they need to make sure that they take care of business, and really tonight and tomorrow night against the Astros, and at least have the half game up before they head into the weekend. That's for sure. All right, great job by everybody today, Mafia and the crew. Great job by Go for the Two, Joe Lease. You can hear me and Joe tonight, Sports Grid Radio, 8 p.m. East, 8 to 10 East. Of course, we will be with you. We have, of course, great job by Mike DeCourcy, Davis Maddock, Gabriel Morenci, Sean Merriman. We'll be back tomorrow on C2C. Cam will be with me for the Golf 2. Game Time Decisions is next. Have a great night. Catch some tickets. We'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.